So yesterday we explained the order of Eides, Chukim, and Mishpatim. Eides is the Etzem Ratzin of Hashem. Chukim is the way that begins to come down in a way of our Haseviv, and Mishpatim is the way that continues to come down in a way of our Hamemali. Yes.
I'm assuming Seviv and Amali come from Etzem.
Of course. Everything comes from Etzem. Everything comes from Etzem. But Seviv is not Etzem and Mimali is not Etzem.
Okay.
Page Kuf Mem Dalev. Yeah.
Now, is it like a trickle down? Etzem to Seviv, Seviv to Mimali?
To a certain degree. Yes. Okay, Valpiza Yeshleimar, the Zesha Mashma Betrilas Hamimer, Sheshaelas Haben Chacham, Maho Idus Vachukim Vamishbatim Gomer. He, the Kivon Shekala Mitzvahs Haim, Tzivuye Hashem, La Mahin Nechlakis, Beedus Chukim Mishbatim. According to this, we can say that this that it's implied in the beginning of the Mimer. That the question of the Ben Chacham, Mahaidus Vachukim Vamishbatim, etc., is that since all mitzvahs are tzivuye Hashem, are commands from Hashem, Lamahin Nechlakis Le Be'edus Chukim Vamishbatim. Good morning, Yankel.
Why
morning. Are they split up?
Two. I'm just leaving the shul. There you go.
Why are they split up to Eides, Chukim, and Mishpatim? Why are they split up into these categories? In other words, if the point of doing a mitzvah is because Hashem said, so why are you going and telling me, do this mitzvah because it's Eides, do this mitzvah because it's Chukim? What's the difference? Don't give it a name, don't give it a title, don't give it a category, don't try to pigeonhole it. It says Eibishter's Ratzin. The Eibishter wants me to do it. Finish. That's all that's important.
So, this is the first question, right?
This was the second question. Kanal Seif Gimel. The first question was, that was Seif Aleph. How, through practical mitzvahs, am I able to draw down Atzmus? If I'm eating matzah, if I'm wearing tefillin, these are gashmiistika things, physical actions, how am I able to draw down Hashem's essence or the Ur Ein Sof?
Did we answer that?
No. Well, we did and we didn't. We'll come back to both of them. But what we're focusing now is on the second question that we said, that the Chacham is bothered, that he says we should be doing mitzvahs just because Hashem wants us to do them. Why are we going and trying to categorize them into specific categories in order to accomplish them?
We said before the kavanah klalis and the kavanah pratis.
Yes.
So he's asking why is there a kavanah pratis?
Exactly. Why is the kavanah pratis relevant to us? So hugam lahabir, this is also according to the explanation shebehem shecha maimer, that's in the continuation of the maimer, the she'elas haben chacham, the question of the ben chacham is, eich nimshach gili alikus al yidei mit ha-mitzvahs shela'achim atan terah she'ikram hu asiyah bepayel. So this is going back to Seif Aleph, the first question. The two questions are related to each other. Earlier, the way that it felt was that the two questions are almost opposite. One question is, how does the action of the mitzvah, the physical part of the mitzvah, how does that make any difference? Seemingly it's about your spiritual space that you're in when you're doing the mitzvah, your kavana, your focus when you're doing the mitzvah. That's what's important. That's the first question. The second question is almost an opposite question. Who cares about your kavana? Your kavana is irrelevant. Who do you think you are anyways? What's important is just do the mitzvah because that's what Hashem wants you to do. So they seem like two opposite questions. Now the Maamar is saying that based on this new appreciation that we have, not only are they not two opposite questions, they in fact go hand in hand. So let's see how the Maamar is going to do that for us. The inyan hu, and the idea is, dezeh shal yedei maisa mitzvus nasa hamshachas aleikus. This, that through doing an action, you're able to draw down godliness. Ein ze pella. This is not a wonder. Mikivon shehamitzvos hem ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is it something that you puzzle about? That you're able to go into newer cars and press a button and the engine starts? After all, in old cars, you had to really work hard to start the engine. You had to turn a key. Right? I've told you before the story of the guy that's on the telephone, a new cordless telephone that just came out. And he's speaking to his friend and he says, Beryl, this is amazing. This is unbelievable. You wouldn't believe it. I'm speaking on a telephone and there are no wires. I don't understand. How does this work? How can you hear me without any wires? And his wife is in the background and he says, so Shmerel, with wires, you do understand how it works. So we have a question, how through Maisa HaMitzvahs are we able to draw down godliness? How through the action of mitzvahs are we able to draw down godliness? And with the kavanah of mitzvahs, you do understand how you're able to draw down godliness. The only reason godliness is drawn down in anything that we do is because that's what Hashem wants. Hashem said, if you press this button, this is going to be the result. So it's not about the button, of course. Buttons don't start engines. But when buttons are connected to the proper mechanism, it's going to start an engine. If Hashem chose that you should wrap tefillin around your arm, and that's how you should draw down godliness, that's the button he chose. So that's not a pella, that's not a wonder. That's not what the Ben HaChacham is asking, what we thought he was asking. How could you do such a simple physical behavior and through that draw down godliness? That's not his question. So Usha'elas HaBen HaChacham, what is his question? He alze sha'al yidei maisa hamitzvus nimshach gilui aleikus. He doesn't want to know why through doing maisa hamitzvus you're able to draw down godliness. But how do you have revealed godliness? Gilui aleikus. The inyan hagiloi shayich lechera la'aveda ruchnis v'loi la'aveda gashmis. The idea of gilui, of revelation, is something which is relevant, seemingly, to aveda ruchnis, to spiritual aveda, v'loi la'asiyo gashmis, not to physical action. V'lochein oimer, and therefore he says, gilui is something that you're able to see. To see, you have to put in a little bit of effort. So when you have those engines that you have to pull the string in order to be able to start the engine, the bottom line is that yes, the engine and what it's able to do is far greater than the effort that you put into pulling the string. But still, the pulling of the string, the effort that you do put into it, has a connection to the starting of the engine. What you're doing, whatever it is, whichever mechanic can help explain to us, but you're actually sparking the engine. You're doing something which is starting the engine, and you pull it once, you pull it twice, you pull it three times, and the engine springs into life. There's something happening as a direct result of your action. But when you press a button, there's nothing happening as a direct result of your action. When you press a button, it's completely divorced from the action. It's that which is hooked up to this because we wanted to give you an easy way to get the engine started. So therefore we hooked up something to this button in order to help you get it, in order to help you do it. It's the same thing also in the Ben HaChacham's perception with regard to mitzvahs. if you're doing something spiritual, then there can be a spiritual effect of that spiritual action that you're doing. If you're having a kavana, a focus, an intention, a thought, you're lifting yourself up with ava and yira, with love of Hashem, with fear of Hashem, you're doing something spiritual. So of course, the spiritual action that you're doing cannot compare to the revelation of godliness which happens as a result, but at least they're commensurate. At least they're related to each other. At least you can see that this causes that. But if you're doing a physical action, that's like pressing a button. It has no shaychus to godliness. How? Through wrapping tefillin are you going to have gilui alikus, revealed godliness? And it's because that's his question, v'lachein oimer, therefore he asks about the specific categories of mitzvahs. Because those categories of mitzvahs are what are bothering him. He doesn't ask maha mitzvahs like we asked earlier. He asks specifically about the categories, even though he's asking about the action. What's bothering him is the action, and the action is relevant to the thought behind the mitzvah. The category of the mitzvah is about what your focus is when you're doing the mitzvah, not about the action of the mitzvah. So his question is what the action is. We asked earlier, why is he splitting it up into the categories? And the Maimer explains, Ki zeh shal yidei ha-mitzvahs, nasam shachas alikus. This, that through mitzvahs you're able to draw down godliness. We explained at length in the earlier paragraph of this ois, is that it starts with the etzem of Hashem, and then it goes into aras seviv, the ara, the energy, the atmosphere that's created that be through this mitzvah. And then it goes down into the ar hamimali, the specific mitzvah that you're doing and what you're accomplishing with this specific mitzvah in a very specific area, the ar hamimali. It's because of that which is equal in all of the mitzvahs. What's equal in all of the mitzvahs? Al hein hein v'alav hein. When the Eibishter said Anoichi, everyone said yes. And according to Rabbi Akiva, when Hashem said Lo yilcha, everyone also said yes. And it's the same yes, 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 yes. Hashem, whatever you want, that's the yes. Which is equal, which is combined. A shotif is a partner. The shebichal hamitzvus b'shava sheheim tzivui v'ratzin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That every single mitzvah is Hashem's ratzin. It doesn't matter if the mitzvah is telling you to wrap tefillin, or the mitzvah is telling you to love your fellow Jew. Whatever the mitzvah might be, it's the same mitzvah that it's Hashem's ratzin. V'zeh shehamitzvus nechlakim behasugim. This that mitzvahs are split up into types. Eidos chukim and mishpatim. Hu b'negeya legiloi ha-hamshacha. That's with regard to the revelation of that which is being drawn down. She be'edos, when it comes to eidos, ha-hamshacha hi be'elem, we're drawing down godliness in a concealed way. U'bechukim, when it comes to chukim, in other words, with eidos, it's a complete concealed way. That's why eidim are testimonies, witnesses testify on something which you're not able to see at all. It's completely concealed. You can't see etzem, kol etzem bilti miskala. But when it comes to chukim, you're able to feel the ara, the atmosphere, the energy, but it's in a surrounding way. It's the ar ha-seviv, b'chukim ha-mshachim hi b'gilui ba'if in the makif. In chukim, that which you're drawing down is in a revealed way, but only in a makif, in a surrounding way, not in a practical way. V'agilui d'mishpatim hu gilui b'pnimiyis. The gilui of mishpatim is a revealed gilui, a revealed revelation, a deeper revelation, something which is relevant to a specific spot in a specific space. Usha'elas haben chacham, and the question of the ben chacham therefore is ma ha'edus va'chukim va'mishpatim eshetzia siva va'elikenu eschem. His question isn't about the kavana of mitzvahs, as we understood earlier. Why are there different mitzvahs that have different kavana? But rather, the mitzvahs which Hashem commanded you, and eschem specifically la'achrei matan Torah, after matan Torah, she'ikram hu asiya b'poyel. The main objective of these mitzvahs that we have is not reflecting on the tefillin. You could sit and contemplate about the tefillin with your feet crossed and humming and so on and so forth for an entire day, but it's not going to bring you anywhere. You need to take out the bag, open up the zipper, and start wrapping it around your arm and head. The mitzvahs that we have after Matan Torah is primarily the asiyah b'payel. Do the mitzvah. Do what you need to do. In yanam hu hamshacha salikos. And the idea of this is, why are we doing a practical mitzvah? Because Hashem is giving us a button. Press this button, the motor will get started. V'im kein, maha edis v'chukim v'mishpatim. If so, the Ben HaChacham is asking, what are these edis, chukim, and mishpatim about? Sha'chiluk, the edis, chukim, and mishpatim, hu be'inyan hagiloi. The chiluk, the differences between edis, chukim, and mishpatim is with regard to the revelation of mitzvahs. And if you want to see what you're doing, so when you pull a string and it takes a little bit of effort, you could at least see what you're doing. But if all you're doing is pressing a button, you're not seeing what you're doing. There's a engineer somewhere that perfectly put together the pieces in order that what you're doing should have an effect. But what you're doing is just sitting back and pressing the button that you were given in order to get the engine started.
How can physical mitzvahs reveal godliness?
How can physical mitzvahs draw down revealed godliness? And since the whole point of the different categories of mitzvahs is about the revelation of godliness, which is drawn down, seemingly that has no connection to just shaking a lulav and esrog. Again, you go on miftzayim with a lulav and esrog, you say, do you want to do a mitzvah? The person immediately starts thinking about how much they have to write a check for and how much effort this is going to take. You tell them, please, just hold this for a minute. You did the mitzvah. You did the mitzvah. You held a lulav and esrog. You did a mitzvah. That's a button. That's not a string. There's no effort involved. It's just that the Eibishter said, this is how you're going to start the engine. This is how you're going to connect to me. That has nothing to do with Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpatim. So the question then is the same question. How, through physical mitzvahs, are we able to draw down Gilui Alikos? That's the question, Maha Eidos, Chukim, and Mishpatim. We've merged the two questions together. Two questions which, again, when we started off this paragraph, sounded like opposite questions. Now we see how they're really one and the same.
You didn't really clarify why it's in that order.
We did. That we did in the first paragraph of this ice. We did in the first paragraph. Eidos is the etzem. Chukim is the ar hasevev, which comes as a result of doing the mitzvahs that come from the etzem. And mishpatim is the ar hamimali, which comes from the ar hasevev. The ar hasevev goes and is neslabish inside of the ar hamimali. The Chakika Lamata, which we spoke about in Eis Hei. So the order is also understood. What I don't think we answered yet is why he says Eschem and not Eisanu. I hope that we'll answer that stuff. Okay? Sure.
For the surrounding way, I guess this is like a tangential question. Is there also a level of revelation for that as well? Or is it just...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. When I walk into your dorm room, so there are two things that hit me immediately. I would think that the Ar HaSeviv hits me before the Ar HaMimali. The Ar HaMimali is which bed is... made and neat and which bed is messy? Where is there garbage on the floor and where is it nice and clean? What are the things that are there and how are they arranged and what message are they conveying? But the Ara Seviv that hits me is, what's the Ara and energy of this room? That Ara and energy is something which is very revealed. And over here, it's working the opposite way, that the Ur HaMimale is causing an Ur HaSeviv. But really, the way that it works is that there's an etzem, there's an essence of who you are, and that essence of who you are is getting expressed in the Ur HaSeviv, the energy that you want, and that's having a practical effect on the Ur HaMimale, on the way things are actually presenting themselves in a specific way.
So then if my dorm room was clean and you would have a different like feeling of or sense of like what the aura is of the room, would that mean that then subsequently there's a different
etzem? There's a different save, that's the save of the save of it is the atmosphere. The save of it is the energy. What your question could be is how can the etzem change, and it's true, the etzem doesn't change. It's a different emphasis which is coming out. But the bottom line is that in a person's dira, it's loy yisbarach, in a person's dira, in a person's home, in a person's dwelling, there's a certain energy of who he is that's going to be expressed. Most people don't live in cold, aloof dwellings. They live in dwellings that convey their personalities, their etzem, their focus, their objectives. You feel that before you see it. So that's the Ur HaSeviv before the Ur HaMimale.
The
Ur HaSeviv is the revelation, not of the essence per se, but as the essence is coming into a level of revelation, it first enters into an Ur HaSeviv, into a more atmospheric effect.
So then is there also,
before it's focused on the Ur HaMimale, the specificities of it,
which would look like what in the home? Like the books and the pictures and the...
Absolutely. And
the
color of the couch. To a certain extent. Obviously, we can both have the same couch and it can create a different atmosphere because it's each of our homes.
So you could still have like two couches, like a couch and books, but then it's also like the type of books that are there.
Of course.
Which you could look at and then
of course
draw different conclusions which can generate okay different understanding.
Absolutely.
Interesting. And then, so is there merit also in revelation of the soiviv as well as the practical mitzvah?
Explain your question.
Is there merit in revelation of the surrounding light as well as the
yes.
What's the correct word?
The Ur HaMimale. The Ur HaSeviv is when you look at the world and you see this is the Eibishter's world. That's the Ur HaSeviv. The Ur HaMimale is this is a tree, this is a rock, this is a building, this is a mountain, this is an ocean. That's the Ur HaMimale. The Ur HaSeviv is the Eibishter's world, wherever it is.
But that doesn't always translate to the HaMimale.
The Ur HaMimale, as we're learning in this Maimer, the way that it's presenting, is that the Ur HaMimale is brought about from the Ur HaSeviv. The Ur HaSeviv causes that then it can go to a lower level in the Ur HaMemale. That means first, there is the Eibishter is, it's the Etzem, the Eidus, that's the first level. The Eibishter is Etzem, and the Etzem is completely beyond any type of revelation. Then, in the stages of revelation, it goes to an Ur HaSeviv. The Ur HaSeviv is still very much connected to Eibishter. It's engraved because it's part and parcel. It's not separated from the Eibishter, but there's the two levels of that. There's the way that it is above, and then the way that it comes down and expresses itself below. And therefore, the Ur HaSeviv then goes and allows for a lower revelation, a more specific revelation, a more detailed revelation of Ur HaMemale in each and every level, the way that it is. This is the way that you have an Etzem, and your Etzem is never going to be revealed. It can't be revealed. I could never know your Etzem. I could just get a glimpse of your Etzem through your Ur HaSeviv and Ur HaMemale. Your Ur HaMemale is the specific parts of you as they're expressed, and the Ur HaSeviv is the general energy that you have.
How does this relate also, I guess, to we talked before in earlier class.
The difference, obviously, between the earlier mashal that we were giving of a home or a dorm room and the way that we're applying it really is that in a home or a dorm room, you make a choice of which things to put there or whether to clean it up or not. And therefore, you directly are causing, as I said earlier, milmata lemaila, from below to above, what the energy is. Now, usually that energy is reflecting yourself, your personality, but you could also make a choice to have an energy which is the opposite of your personality because you're trying to convey something. And being that you're doing it milmata lemaila, you're able to do that. You're able to affect that. But where we're speaking about the Eibishter, where the source of everything is the Etzem, the essence of the Eibishter, that's where it all starts. Over there, it all comes milmaila lemata. And therefore, again, the proper order is Eidus Chukim and Mishpatim, because that's the way it comes into revelation.
Do we have a choice in the amount of concealment which the HaMemale has, was going to be my question. Like, because we said before that there's different levels of revelation. Like, for example, the Torah is very holy. And we look at it and we can, and it's just teeming with holiness. But if I look at a sock, it's harder to draw the level of revelation.
And from. Yet, if you asked the chassid if he was ready to, if he wants the Rebbe's sock, he would do anything to acquire the Rebbe's sock, right? Mm-hmm. He would do anything for it. Why? Because if the Rebbe donned the sock, since the Rebbe is so focused on bringing godliness into the world, that focus brings it down even into his socks. And therefore, the Rebbe's sock is a holy sock, just like the Sefer Torah is holy.
So we
want to
make all our socks holy.
Just before your question, I'll tell you just a brief story. Anecdote, really. There was a certain chasana, a chasan from Toronto was getting married. And there was someone who was close to the family, Rav Rashkelel from Lakewood, who was there by the chasana. And he sees it was a Lubavitcher chasana. This Rav who was there wasn't a Lubavitcher. But he was close enough to the family that he saw as the chassan was getting dressed and so on and so forth. And he sees that the chassan is putting on this tattered kapata, literally tattered, this yellowed and ripped shirt on top of the kapata as a kittel. And he's wondering, what is this chassan doing? He asks the shliach who's there, what's going on over here? Why is the chassan doing this? And the shliach turns to him and he says, if you had an object from the Vilner Gaon, would you not feel that that's something really special to hold on to connect to? The Rav says, of course. So he says, by us, that's what this is. This has a tangible feeling of holiness. For the chassan, as he's walking down to the chuppah and in some of the most important moments of his life, to connect to such a holiness, to such a revealed level of holiness, it's something which is vital. So this Rav says, can I wear it for just a minute after the chuppah? So the shliach sees that he's sincere. He really manages to organize that he should be able to put it on. He puts it on and he wants to say a kapitel tillim while he's wearing it. But he's so emotional from putting it on. He's crying. He's not able to even say the words. He puts it on for like a few moments. He's not able to say the words of tillim. He takes it off. He says to the shliach, he says, please don't tell anyone about this. It could affect my livelihood. But yes, a sock from the Rebbe, who lives his whole life focused on bringing down the Gilui Elikos. The sock is also holy. Another person is looking. It's a sock. It's a sock. What's holy about a sock? A yarmulke maybe. But a sock? A sock of the Rebbe is also holy. Why? Because his life is not just in the Sefer Torah bringing down Gilui Elikos. His life is bringing down Gilui Elikos in every single thing that he touches and every single thing that he interacts with, that it should be practically connected and revealed godliness. And therefore, a chassid would do anything to have a sock of the Rebbe. And this is the way that it is with a tzaddik more so than with us. This is why tzaddikim b'misasam kriyin chayim. This is why a tzaddik's body does not decompose in the kever. A tzaddik's body remains whole and complete. There are stories of tzaddikim who had to be dug up for whatever reason, sometimes even hundreds of years after they passed away, and their body was still fresh. Still fresh. Why? Because the holiness that they experienced, the Gilui Elikos that they experienced, wasn't just when they're wrapping the tefillin, but it was in their bones, in their body, in every single aspect of themselves. And therefore, when something's holy, holiness doesn't decompose. Just like neshama doesn't decompose. If the guf is on the level of the neshama, the guf also doesn't decompose. So in answer to your question, Jeff, yes, that holiness that you have inside of a Sefer Torah can be in a sock as well. It just depends how much you're focused on the message of this Maimer, on the Eidus Chukim and Mishpatim, on bringing that into your life. Is it just something that you'll throw on tefillin and then go back to your life? Then your life is your body, then your body decomposes because nothing physical lasts forever. Even a slice of pizza, I've tried it. It could last 1, 2, 3 days, but you could walk into certain dormitory rooms where the slice of pizza is already 7, 8 days old or longer, and it looks a little bit different, a little bit less appetizing. 3 days later, I think you could still eat it, right?
Sometimes it gets new toppings.
New toppings, all sorts of stuff.
Mushrooms.
I thought Bachram like mushrooms. So... The Physical things decompose, but spiritual things don't decompose. So if you're able to have this energy of Eidus Chukka Mishpatim, not just while you're involved in the mitzvah, Limud HaTorah of the mitzvah, but in your very life and everything that you do, then everything that you have, even your sock, is permeated, is completely suffused with this holiness.
So going back to the first paragraph of the piece, is it that, like, by pulling out string, like by having at least a little bit of kavana, we bring about a gilui of mamala or seivid, and that gilui helps us connect to a gilui of some level to of etzim?
If you have kavana, the kavana connects you milmata lemaila, like the person who's arranging his room in a certain way. That it's happening milmata lemaila. That means kavana is lifting yourself up. So you could lift yourself up first into memale and then into seviv, depending on how intense, on how uplifted, on how exalted your kavana is. That's what you'll connect to. But there's a very definitive ceiling that you can't lift yourself past. That's where kavana can bring you. Kavana brings you to gilui. Kavana brings you to revelation. It lifts you up. That was the mitzvahs that the aves did before Matan Torah. That it says that they were like reches. They were like odors. They were smells. They were pleasant aromas. That you were able to lift up to something spiritual. But something spiritual, it has a limit because it's only what you're doing. Comes the Ben HaChacham, and the Ben HaChacham says, okay, when it comes to kavana and mitzvahs, I get it. But if our mitzvahs are about the action, not about the kavana, it's not about pulling a string, it's about pressing a button. How does that cause gilui elikus? How does that bring about a revelation of godliness if what you're doing is pressing a button? And over there, it's happening milmaila lamata, from above to below. Because over there, it's the actual etzem which is choosing, press this button. And because of that, when you press the button, there's the hamshachas ha-seviv, and from the seviv comes the mimale. And this is something which puzzles the Ben HaChacham. How does that work? How is that possible? And in the next Ois, in Ois Ches, we start off and say, V'hatshuva l'Ben HaChacham, how are we answering his question? But this is where his question is coming from.
Is it like, how is the button itself a gilui of Elikus? How does the button bring gilui of Elikus? Because it could be as simple.
It's not the button itself, but how through pressing the button are you causing gilui Elikus? That you could start the engine through pressing the button, I get it. But don't try to convince me that pressing the button is actually doing something with regard to starting the engine. You're just pressing a button.
It's the engine that's the gilui.
The engine is the gilui, but you don't see the engine. The engine is under the hood. When you're pressing a button, you're doing nothing. Why does it work? Because the engineer wanted it to. Because the Eibishter wanted it to. But don't try to tell me that the pressing the button is, wow, I just put on tefillin. What do you do? You wrap something around your arm and head. My 2-year-old also likes wrapping things around his arm and head. Is he doing a mitzvah? He has toy tefillin. What if they're pink? What if they're round? What if they have different parshiyos of Torah that are important to me? What if instead of Shema, I decide to put the Aseres Hadibros inside of my tefillin? Aseres Hadibros, those are pretty important, though. And what's it going to accomplish when I put on these tefillin? Gornished.
Gornished?
Gornished. Absolutely nothing. Okay. Right?
Just a question to clarify about Eidus. We've learned that it's from the Etzem, but what about the Eida makes it more Atzmus than a Chayk?
Nothing. Just the fact that's what we said yesterday. And the day before yesterday, really, is where we focused on it. But the last two shiurim spoke about this, the Pshitus. That's the bottom line. It was a complicated ice. Ice vav? Was it ice vav? No, ice hay. Ice hay was a complicated ice. Right? But the bottom line is, and this is what I said at the end of that year, and then again, I think I repeated it yesterday. Pshitus is atzmus. Pure simplicity, purity, innocence, uncomplicatedness. The louder you shout, the more you're trying to drown something else out. Pure simplicity, that's atzmus. It's not about what the edus is. It's about what the edus isn't. The edus isn't mishpatim, which has a certain logical grasp hold to it, that you're able to connect to it through that logical grasp hold. It's not chukim, which are beyond logic, which are ein l'chavrshus laharacha. Don't you dare try to figure it out, because it's a chayk. Chukah chakakti gzer gazart v'ein l'chavrshus laharacha. It's not either of those things. That's the beauty of Vedas. It's pshitus, it's simplicity, it's purity. It's innocence.
What about it is innocence?
That it's just because that's what Hashem wants. It's not because what Hashem wants is beyond my understanding, which is a chayk. It's just because we chose that this flower has this symbolic meaning between us. It doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to mean anything. It doesn't have to have any practical, logical, or illogical meaning. It's just because. And it's more just because than the chukim. In the beginning of this maimer, we felt like chukim are the most just because. Why don't you put on chutneys? Just because. Why don't you eat a cheeseburger? Just because. But what this maimer taught us is no, on the contrary. The edus are more just because than the chukim. Because the chukim are just because, and you don't have to understand it, and you don't understand it, and you can't understand it, etc. But the edus are just because. That's what Hashem wants to express His love to us, and that's how we express our love to Him. Eat the matzah.
It sounds like edus are more in terms of a relationship. Chayk is more
group.
You just do this. Whereas
etzem, yes. Relationship of etzem. What you're saying is true, but it's because of the etzem.
And we also said that like the chukim are, like there is a reason, it's just we can't get correct. There. Whereas right. The edus, it's like we're testifying to something that will never be revealed.
It can't.
Exactly the level of atzem.
Exactly. Okay, I guess we'll do the tshuva tomorrow, Bezus Hashem. Eish ches, we'll do tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.